To the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I am Tyler Hayward. You can find us on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, almost everywhere you can get your podcasts. Be sure to check us out, like the Facebook page, Trouble with Snap podcast. Another Facebook page you can like. It's a podcast divided with Connor Muldowney, who is also of Sparnav, and he's joining us today. So here's the deal, Connor. All right. Jeremy only does the Michigan side of this. You know, much like your show, it's a divided show. We got a Michigan dude, we got a Michigan State dude, right?
Yep.
Thursday's our preview show. Well, there's only one game this weekend. It's Michigan versus glorified bye that is Northwestern. Jeremy cannot make it today.
That's too bad.
So we will talk Michigan-Northwestern for, I was planning about 15, 20 minutes of it on the half-hour show, you know what I mean? But I think we can do about 5 to 10 minutes of this and then get to the good stuff, which is the rivalry.
That sounds perfect.
And before we get into all of that, we had Jay Green on last week. Gosh, I'm trying to remember who I got Monday. Oh, yeah, Clifton Ryan on Monday, Thomas Wright on Tuesday, Will Whitaker Wednesday, J.U. Culkirk on Thursday, and Marvin Wright on Friday. We are booked solid, so be sure to check us out. Like I said, anywhere you get your podcasts. So, all right, Connor, let's talk about this trash that's happening on Saturday. Look, it's going to be a blowout. Let's just be 100% real. But Northwestern did show a little bit in regards to signs of life last weekend, beating Rutgers, helping to destroy my parlay. This is a weird team because everyone knows how great of a coach Pat Fitzgerald is because he doesn't have the tools and the amenities that, you know, even Illinois has in regards to coaching and recruiting and all that type of stuff, what you can get on your staff, and the facilities are okay. They're nice for what's essentially
the campus is beautiful.
Yeah, it's a school that's playing out of their league ultimately, unfortunately. What Northwestern team shows up though?
I mean, obviously if you're a State fan, you want to see a really good Northwestern, like 2020 version Northwestern, show up. But honestly, from what they've showed this year,
Rocky Lombardi beat the 2020 Northwestern team. Like,
that's true. But they won that division. They actually looked like a decent team this year. They just look like a glorified MAC team, basically. And hopefully, I mean, I don't want to see, you know, Michigan fans making excuses that they were looking ahead. If they somehow, some way found a way to lose this game, which I don't think is even possible, but yeah. I would like to see a competitive game. I would like to see Michigan show a little more of its cards because in my mind, I'm thinking they're using this as like a warm-up game. They don't want to show Michigan State too much on film. They're just going to run the ball 70 times and go home with a, you know, 35-7 win or something. I hope it's a little more competitive, but I just don't see Northwestern holding up with Michigan.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing that I want to see is there's two chances for you to address the elephant in the room, and that's the quarterback situation at Michigan. And this is one of them coming off the bye, which, first off, coming off of a bye with Michigan's with an undefeated Michigan State looming, who's going through their own bye week, and then their second worst team in the Big Ten just staring at you. Like, I don't know how you come out and just completely aggressive. And if they do, you know, that's one of the few things you can credit Jim Harbaugh on. But there's two moments where you're going to switch up the quarterback at this point, or at least finalize it. Because right now you're toying around with it. You're putting in J.J. McCarthy to hand the ball off. And it's coming out of a bye. Or it's if you lose next Saturday. Like, those are the two moments. And I don't think we're going to see it quite yet because, look, Michigan fans don't want to give McNamara the credit, but McNamara is ultimately dealing with a Jared Goff situation where he has nobody to throw to. He's lost his top two receivers to season-ending injuries. He's got a obviously a better running game than what Goff has to deal with, and he's not missing all of his offensive linemen too. But as far as like the receivers go, that's what McNamara is working with, and I think he deserves a little bit of slack in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, but I've said even before the season that Michigan's best chance to win is going to be with J.J. McCarthy. I mean, McNamara might be like the perfect bridge quarterback for McCarthy learning the system, you know, taking a year to kind of get comfortable in the college game. But I've likened the situation a little bit to, if you've ever seen Friday Night Lights, the TV show, I think Cade McNamara is Matt Saracen and J.J. McCarthy is J.D. McCoy, the young freshman who comes in and is clearly better, but, you know, the coach doesn't see it right away and then he finally gives in. I think that's this situation. Harbaugh is very loyal to Cade, and that's fine. Cade hasn't done anything wrong. I mean, they're not throwing the ball a ton, so that's not really his fault. But I think that when he does throw more, we're going to see why J.J. is the better option.
Yeah, and I mean, this could be a practice thing too, because nobody knows what happens in practice. And let's be real. I think you were on the Cassius Winston train before I was, because it took me a while. Because I was like, the guy doesn't play defense. He turns the ball over, or he has 10 assists and no turnovers, but there's nothing in between. I know, and he doesn't offer, like I said, that defense. But then you go to some of these open practices and then you watch Tum Tum Marin just completely light it up. And you wonder if Jim Harbaugh's in that Tum Tum Marin situation, just hoping, oh, God, just click when the lights are on, just once.
Yep. That's very possible. That is very possible.
Like, what was it? That Moneyball program, Tum was dropping like 30 a game.
He was a 3-point specialist in the Moneyball.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that may be the situation. And ever since, you know, you see that and you watch that firsthand with, because we've heard about this type of stuff happening. Like, oh, well, he's a good practice player, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. We've heard about that type of stuff happening, but at Michigan State, you didn't really see that firsthand until those two were kind of battling it out. And now it just kind of opens my eyes, like, okay, McCarthy has this talent in bunches, but, you know, McNamara's not playing terrible, and maybe he's just lighting it up. Like, I'm starting to give coaches a little more leeway. Last year, admittedly, I was a little harsh on the Peyton Thorne, Rocky Lombardi thing.
Oh, you and me both.
Yeah, I've been clamoring for Thorne since he came in, you know.
I mean, he played last year, he looked really good. And I thought that, you know, Rocky, he gave it his all. He won us the Michigan game. But after that, he was just, I don't know how you stick with him after that.
Yeah, well, I mean, the injury kind of showed us what Thorne is, and I think that maybe opened the door in regards to the Anthony Russo quarterback competition.
Yep.
Which that was driving me crazy listening. Oh, it's really close. Well, if it's close, play the young guy. Well, yeah. You play the young guy, you're 7-0. All right. That's enough of that garbage. We'll get to our predictions later in the show. This is what happens when Jeremy doesn't show up. And
we just bash Michigan. I like it.
Well, look, people get busy. I get busy. You know, you get busy. We were trying to fit you in with everything that we have going on here on the podcast and just life in general. And, you know, me and Jeremy have coaches meetings and all this other. It's just hectic. So I get why Jeremy can't do it. That being said, if you want more Michigan talk, talk to him, get him to come back on his show, because he was the one who started this. we got to talk about the rivalry. And, you know, me and Sean Verhoeven, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. See, this, like I said, I'm just looking for Spartans to fill the air. we talked about, like, kind of like this history of it, you know, favorite moments, least favorite moments, blah, blah, blah. And, but we didn't really talk about the stuff that really gets under our skin with the rivalry. And you, look, it's going to be one side of the coin that you listen to, because, like I said, Connor's Michigan State guy on a podcast about it. And I heard you talk about him a little bit on your last show. And that's Braylon Edwards.
Oh, boy.
And this, okay, I'll give you a little bit of what he said. I didn't listen to the whole thing. I saw enough of a clip to make me do some homework, made me post a Facebook status, and somehow, rather intentionally or unintentionally, probably unintentionally, because I hang in circles who are in radio. I do not hang in this circle, though. Mm-hmm. Valenti and Rico shared my Facebook status more or less. They did not credit it for me, but they did the exact same thing and broke it down player A, player B. And, you know, maybe we'll read that off for you here, too, as we talk about this Braylon Edwards talk, because he ultimately insulted
everyone.
At least two guys who are really, really good defenders.
Yeah.
He was saying, you can't name a player on Michigan State's defense. Well, that's cool.
That was probably the least harmful thing that he said.
Yeah, and like I said, that was the only part of the clip I saw. Do you want to break down the rest of it?
Oh, I mean, so he went on to say that, and that was, I think that was an episode from Monday. And then on Tuesday, he gave a response because he got a ton of backlash from Michigan State fans who were like, hey, like, that's ridiculous to say because they have two All-Americans on the team halfway through the year, and Jacob Panasiuk is leading the Big Ten in quarterback hurries, and Xavier Henderson has had, you know, an All-American season. And then he went on to say a bunch of stuff about, you know, it's hard to listen to State fans because they wanted Mel Tucker fired last year, and they were hurling racial slurs at Mel Tucker. And that's when it became like, okay, this is beyond rivalry. This is more of you making stuff up to kind of fire up your masses. So that's what I took exception with. I know he's came out since he said that and has kind of doubled down on it and has called Michigan State fans peons. But I think when you're talking about the rivalry and that you're keeping it, you know, rivalry banter, I can't name a single player on defense, whatever, that's fine. But when you go into the personal stuff and you attack an entire fan base and say that they're being racist and all this stuff and hurling stuff that there's no proof of, I think that's when it becomes an issue. And I think that's what a lot of Michigan State fans took exception with this week.
Yeah, and here's the thing. He was a good football player.
Great.
I mean, I'm not going to – okay, he was a good college football player. Yeah. I'm not going to take that away from him. He was a great college football player.
Mm-hmm.
He caused me a lot of pain. At this point, you're an idiot, though.
Yep.
And the fact that you can sit there and just make these false claims – now, look, I understand that there were some – racial issues regarding the initial hiring of Mel Tucker, and based upon the rumors and everything else that went on about the hiring, I mean, there's that to an extent is literally all you can pull from it, though.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you can dive any deeper and call an entire fan base racist. If you want to sit there and call Michigan State fans peons. Yeah. You can just sit there and look at the Michigan fans who, you know what, we're gonna play this game, all right? This is ultimately what Valenti and Rico put on the air, all right? This is what my Facebook post was, ultimately. Player A, 23 tackles, 8.5 for a loss, 5.5 sacks. One forced fumble, a fumble recovery, a pass defense, and 45 quarterback pressures. And I mean, obviously, you know who it is. You saw my stats.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Player B, 24 tackles, 6 for a loss, 4.5 sacks, 1 forced fumble, no fumble recoveries, no passes defense, 30 pressures. Both of them played 6 games. All right. Player A is obviously Jacob Pinatschuk. Player B is Aiden Hutchinson. And Aiden Hutchinson got all this All-American love. And it's part of that hype train. And that's ultimately what Braylon Edwards was on, is he's on this hype train because Hutchinson has all this All-American love.
Yep.
And I think Pinatschuk was on the Athletic All-American team.
Yeah, their midseason team.
Yeah, and that's it.
Yeah.
And Hutchinson's all over the place. You tell me right now who's having a better season. But
26.
True. I mean, if you look at the snaps, obviously Hutchinson has less snaps, and the Michigan fans will go to that. But even if you were to say, okay, if the snaps were equal, the numbers would be closer. Well, even if they're closer, that means they're both on the same level. So why are you bashing one, saying you don't even know who he is, like all this stuff? Why are you saying that while, you know, the guy in your team is having statistically a less productive season?
Yeah, and I want to point out one other thing. If you want to go all things being equal, you can slide your protection to go to Pinatschuk, or Pinatschuk, or however
you say it.
Yeah, and so maybe Braylon was right. We don't know who.
Technically, no.
If you want all things being equal, you can slide your protection over to Pinatschuk because Beasley's out. And Beasley was supposed to be the best defensive player on the team, or best defensive lineman on the team, best in the front six. And so front seven, if you want to include the nickelback. But that you can't do that at U of M because Ojabo is really good on the other side.
Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point, though. Like, you can kind of focus on Jacob because there is no – I mean, you have Drew Jordan. I guess he's decent. You have Michael Fletcher, who I wish you could kind of get more from this year. But, yeah, you get these guys who aren't on the same level as Ojabo, and, you know, you can focus on him. You can double-team him more easily. Even though Michigan State's defensive line has been a strength this year, I think – you can focus on one of the two ends while, you know, the D tackles eat on the inside. They're fairly good and deep there, but that's a good point. I mean, he's putting up these numbers with all of this focus and attention on him.
Yeah. And look, Jacob Slade, this is not to downplay the way that he's played. He's been absolutely phenomenal this season. But this is, I mean, you can still send a running back out to Chit. If you know, if normally he's off on the left, you can slide him over to the other side or vice versa, wherever Pinatschuk is lined up, and then you can take advantage of it from there. And that's my thing. It's like, you know, oh, well, Hutchinson has less snaps. Yeah, well, he's also got more snaps with Ojabo on the field than Pinatschuk does with Beasley. And I mean, look, this isn't to downplay either one of these guys. I think they're both All-Americans.
Yeah.
But, you know, for once, I'd like to watch a Michigan game, and maybe they spend most of the time on, I don't know, Hutchinson's facial hair or whatever, as opposed to his actual production on the field, or whatever penalty he gets screwed on.
Yep.
Like they do with Pinatschuk.
I mean, his reputation might have something to do with it, but even if that's the case, like, that's kind of a Bush League move. And I know I see Michigan fans going out there and, like, well, Pinatschuk gets hated on because he's such a dirty player. Okay, like, he had that one hit, I think, where he late hit Shea Patterson 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And they've held on to that. They've gripped that, like, I don't even know. Like, it's actually impressive how much they've remembered that one play, and they're just kind of sticking to it like he's a dirty player from that one play.
Well, he had, you know, 2 personal fouls over the last 2 weeks. Well, all right, first off,
the one. Okay, let's talk about one of those.
What are you laughing about? Because I can laugh about both of them.
Yeah. I don't even remember the second one.
The second one, he just straight up hit Tuttle. Is that the one you're talking about?
Oh, no. I'm talking about the one where he wrapped up the quarterback on the sideline. They call it a personal foul.
He wrapped
down to the ground.
Yeah, he wrapped up Vedrill. He was pushed in the back and wrapped him up, and it looked like he was kind of, you know, pulling himself up.
Yep.
But then he realized what was going on, and he let it go. Like, this is not the dirtiest player. This is a guy who plays with a high motor, definitely.
Yep.
Very energetic, and yeah, I'm not saying he's, you know, completely
He's not the innocent. Cleanest player. He's not an angel by any means, but
he's not
this dirt ball. He's not Ndamukong Suh or anything. He's playing a pretty fair game most of the time. He has some plays where, like, I mean, you and I probably are scratching our heads, like, why'd you do that?
But why are you doing that? You've been here for 17 years, knock it off.
Anytime a senior or a fifth-year senior or a sixth-year senior makes a dumb penalty, it drives me insane. That's probably my biggest pet peeve about watching Michigan State is there's the veterans who are making the mistakes while the freshmen and sophomores are, you know, playing a clean game.
Sure.
If you want to get into dirty plays, you could say the same thing about Aiden Hutchinson going at Martinez's legs a few weeks ago. Like, that wasn't even really that dirty because when they slowed the replay down and you kind of looked at it from a different angle, it looked different. But that's the kind of stuff that Michigan fans would crucify Panashuk for. So that's kind of like there's a double standard that's tiring.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to break down a couple things really quick, looking at the actual football aspect of it. Give me one area of, you know, the game where you're concerned and one where you're feeling really confident.
Biggest concern is probably Michigan State's offensive line play against Michigan's defensive line. You talked about Hutchinson and Ojabo. Both of them are really good, and both of them get after the quarterback a lot. And we've seen State's line struggle over the past couple weeks, especially in run blocking. Run blocking all year has been a major issue. So I'm hoping that, you know, they figure something out in this bye week, and they're able to open some holes for Walker to run through. That's probably my biggest concern. And the thing I'm feeling the best about would probably – it's a tie between our defensive backfield is kind of picking up momentum, and they get to face McNamara, who isn't
– I've dogged Williams last week. He was impressive.
Yeah, yeah. Ronald Williams has taken a step. Chester Kimbrough has taken a step. And I know everybody knows that those two guys are talented. Just something, whether it's a schematic issue, like they're playing too far off the ball, I think that's been the major problem. But last week we saw them in press coverage, and they played great. The whole secondary played great last week. Tuttle needed 52 throws for 188 yards. That's like a dream stat line for a defensive coordinator. So if the secondary improves, I feel good about that going up against Cade McNamara and the receivers who aren't, you know, they're missing Bell and they don't really have a go-to guy right now. It's between that and our receivers against their secondary. I really think Naylor and Reed against those guys are going to put up some numbers if Thorne gets the time to throw.
I'm going to partially agree with that last one. Whoever is opposite that Dax Hill.
Yep, that's true.
He's been really hit and miss, but when he hits hard.
Yeah.
And so whoever's opposite Dax Hill, it would be the route that I would go. Mm-hmm. And you know, worst comes to worst, you got Trey Mosley too. The one thing I'm confident about, the one thing I'm not confident about, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
What I mean by that is the play action. And, I mean, look, I don't trust Michigan State to run straight on in Michigan's defense. If there is a play in the play, whatever play in the playbook is not a misdirection or a play action, whether it be like a fake end around and then a zone cutback or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
throw it out. Throw out the straight dropbacks. Throw out the zone reads or anything like that. If it's not a misdirection or not a play action, pitch it and use the play action, because we saw what happened. The only time Peyton Thorne hit any time last week, the only time where he was able to find an open receiver where the receivers had time to get open, because look, Indiana's got a good assignment sound defense. The only was off of play action. You want to know why? Because everybody is sucking in towards Kenneth Walker. And it doesn't matter if you trust your defensive line to completely decimate the offensive line on the other side. Everybody's going to fall in on him. He's a part of the game plan. He's number one on the game plan, period. So play action. I would turn Tyler Hunt and Connor Hayward into All-Americans in one game. And that's how I would handle this Michigan team. And it also opens things up. Your safeties are going to step up as well, and that's going to, you know, give Reed or Naylor, like I said, whoever's opposite Dax Hill, the opportunity to break away from their corner. And so, like I said, I feel confident in the play action. I'm just not confident we're going to use it enough, because I don't think we used it enough last week.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And that's, I mean, that's Jay Johnson's biggest flaw, is he's so bent on giving the ball to Kenneth Walker. And it's like, oh, cool, he hit the quietest 87, I think, yards in the history of football. But
I was shocked that he had that many yards. I was shocked that he broke 80.
Yeah, well, he's about to break 1,000 for the season with, I'm going to say, at least two carries. It depends if we run it right up the middle on first down on the first play, like we probably will.
Yeah.
But
flea flicker, I mean, first play, maybe?
What?
Flea flicker on the first play.
It feels like we've done that before. But, yeah, let's get to the predictions. We do it by the spread. We try to make people money here. Jeremy's really bad at it. I'm good on the money here. But the spread is, what was it today? 23.5 in favor of U of M. Started at 21.5 at the beginning of the week.
That's tough. That's a tough line. So the spread's 23. I don't know if Michigan is gonna have like a big offensive day. That's my only thing, is I think that they're gonna run the ball a ton. So, oh man, I'm gonna say Northwestern covers that. I'm gonna say they hit the plus 23.5.
I'm gonna take Michigan in this one, and I'll tell you what. You said Michigan's gonna run the ball a lot. Michigan State ran the ball a lot against Northwestern too, and not to say that Corum and Haskins are Kenneth Walker, but they're probably the best running back duo in America. And so I like Haskins and Corum. I've not seen enough of, you know, when both teams are playing, you know, you get this choice when you're married with a kid. I've got to watch Michigan State. Well, then everything else you do afterwards is, you know, it's baby oriented at that point. So I've not seen Corum enough to, like, you know, fall in love with the style or anything like that, though I know his numbers are insane. He's played really, really good football. But I do love watching Haskins run, and I think that Michigan ends up covering. I think it's a 40-point game. I got 56-17 in favor of Michigan. I have 52-17. I think they get a field goal instead. But I think that they're just too dominant, too physical. I think they're going to cause all sorts of problems for Helsinki. Connor, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, we got you now.
Okay, sorry. I was just saying, if Rutgers can hang with Michigan and only lose by 7, I think Northwestern can keep it within 24-ish. I would hope, at least. But, you know, I also wouldn't be shocked by your score of 52-17.
Yeah, my thing, the dreams of property doesn't apply in sports. I just think this is a really bad matchup. If you can punch Northwestern in the mouth, they're a team that tries to be physical, but they don't get the players that either Michigan State or Michigan does. And so that's why I'm kind of tipping that way. So, like I said, go out, like a podcast about it, go watch that. That will get you hyped for the game. Obviously, follow us on Facebook as well. Listen to us. We'll get you hyped for the game. DeAndre Cobb on tomorrow to close out the week. And like I said, next week we have a guest booked every day, so you're going to want to check it out. A couple different positional guys too, so a lot to break down. I can't believe we have to do this whole freaking week thing again. Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, I appreciate you for having me. It's been fun. I love talking a little rivalry game. This is going to be a crazy week in front of us.
Yeah, it's going to be hectic because I just didn't live through it for the last 4.5 days so far. But that does it for us here on Trouble with Snap Podcast. Again, thank you, Connor Muldowney, for coming on. Check out A Podcast Divided. Obviously, like our stuff on Facebook and get ready because we're going all in starting tomorrow with DeAndre Cobb. So, and I am Tyler Hayward. This is A Trouble with Snap.